Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm J-Flo.
And welcome to the show. This week we will review The Hidden. And as always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then after we'll go to a deeper spoiler analysis.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I have a confession to make. I'm going to have to do this one off the cuff because for some reason I forgot about this. I was so distracted with something else about the movie, I completely forgot to do this part.
Oh, no.
Hold on. I got it. Twin Peaks Fever Dream 80s. Oh.
Twin Peaks Fever. Oh, well, Twin Peaks one word or two words. That's two words, right?
Oh, yeah. I did it two words. Twin Peaks Fever Dream Space.
Sure, yeah, I'll take it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's pretty good off the cuff. So.
Oh, man, I didn't mean to say 80s because my ongoing joke was going to be like, could you tell, like, this movie seemed timeless? Nothing about it. Like, I couldn't tell what era it was at all. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most painfully 80s movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yes, absolutely.
That's not a bad thing. I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's rife with 80s. 80s
oh,
all the
man.
Way.
Like, I think Patty Jenkins should have seen this movie before she went into WW84, you know?
Yeah.
Get a better understanding of, like, this time capsule of a movie.
Yeah. No, I totally get you. Let's see. So, how do you describe this movie?
God, painfully 80s, amazing soundtrack.
Yeah, it actually did have a really nice soundtrack. It's very, like,
yeah, it was
B-movie, right? Like,
yeah.
B-movie.
Let me get this out of the way. There's maybe, like, a few moments where I didn't really like that much, but I fucking love this movie.
There's a couple of laugh-out-loud moments in this movie. Unintentional.
Yeah. This is a bizarre movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you had to describe it, it felt like this... The ugly child of, like, alien nation and, like, escape of the bodies. I mean, what is it? The Body Snatchers movie.
Body Snatchers movie.
Bit,
yeah, exactly. That was the one that sounds, like, the most familiar to it.
But then it's, like, a buddy cop movie, too.
Yeah, it's, like, Lethal Weapon, you know?
Yes, yeah. I don't know. There was a lot going on in this movie. It's a real straightforward story, I promise, but it is... littered with glitter. I don't know how else to describe it.
So, did you want to just give? Were those? Is that your first thoughts, or you want to add to that? Or
no, I'll leave it at that. I didn't think the acting was bad at all either. Like, it for what it was supposed to be, I was like, oh, this is kind of it's enjoyable just because these guys don't suck at it.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of in the middle with this movie. I think you're right, though. It's not a bad movie. Like, it's not like...
No.
There's a couple of, like, scenes that I think are a little laugh out loud, but unintentionally. But aside from that, it takes itself serious enough and tries to really sell you on the plot of this movie. And there's, like, some pretty strong performances from Kyle MacLachlan and the other guy, Michael Norrie, his buddy.
Yeah.
Like, I think those guys were pretty solid in it. I just thought...
What about Danny Trejo?
He was in this?
Yes, he was.
I didn't see it.
One of my favorite moments. And I called it before I looked it up. But then there was a shot later where you saw him up close. It might ruin it. But towards the end, he's one of the... He's the guy that yells in the jail cell, like, hey, what's going on? Or whatever the hell.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't even recognize him. There's a lot of... It's a lot of interesting things, but, like, it's incredibly B-movie 80s film.
Super, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I think those were like the biggest things for me. Middling kind of movie for me.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I get it, but it definitely does have that very 80s. Like, do you remember that movie? I Come in Peace. that's an obscure one that I think finally has a cult following. It's the one where the aliens with the white eyes, like the bad guy alien is going around. We're talking about a different movie already. He's extracting pituitary glands from people to get adrenaline or something for his alien drug race or whatever.
Yeah.
No, and he shoots the CDs out of his, like, he gets compact discs and he puts them in in a little wrist thing. Anyway, so we're talking about The Hidden by Jack Sholder.
Jack Sholder, who I looked up and he made the Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Oh, nice.
So,
hell yeah.
Well, that was kind of cool. I like that. That's a weird movie, too. So it kind of makes sense. But yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what exactly to say about this movie. Bizarre movie. Huh? It really is. I mean,
well, let's just start with the beginning, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go ahead. It, like, you know, Balls to the Wall starts off with like some dude in like a Porsche driving as fast as he can. Was it a Porsche or like a Lambo? It's a sports car.
Right. Yeah.
Possibly a supercar. Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh no. Well, okay. The opening is security cam footage of a bank or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy just kind of standing there for a long time.
So the credits can roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as soon as the credits are done, he shoots somebody. It cuts to him in this car and he's just like barreling down. And anytime there's cops or cars in the way, he just kind of hits them or avoids them. And he's like smiling and laughing. And
right. And then,
yeah, they finally catch him at the end. Right?
Yeah. He gets up to, I mean, I thought it was kind of, well, that's one of the laugh out loud moments came to me when, well, there's just two laugh out. On, there's two laugh out loud moments for me in this sequence. Now that I think about it,
I was gonna guess. Yeah, is it the location?
MacArthur Park.
MacArthur Park, and then pretty much the rest of the movie is just downtown LA.
Yeah,
which makes some of those moments so funny if you know what the layout is.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get to that in a little here.
I was like, I think I've withdrawn money at that Wells Fargo. So I don't know. And then one of the moments is like, he's like racing through the streets and he like, of course, like those men like putting cones up and then he runs over the cones.
Yeah, but that was the
funny part. The next one was when you have that scene where the guys are taking out the glass. They're walking that see-through glass across the street. And, of course, he's barreling down the street. And then, like, he not only runs into the glass, but runs over the person as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, which, warning, folks, this is a pretty graphic movie with also not being graphic. I don't know how to explain it.
Because he eventually gets to MacArthur Park, and then, like, he's burrowing down the whole lake area there. And then he... there's like a man in that's like comatose in a wheelchair in like nightgown or something, or like a very nice robe. He gets run over. He gets floated to the air.
Over
the chair. Oh man, that was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say like, well, some of those moments that were that wacky. It doesn't continue to happen, but that doesn't mean the movie doesn't get wackier as it goes on.
No, yeah, I think the movie is having fun. I think I don't think this movie takes itself as seriously, and that's the B movie mentality, right? Like,
yeah, it can't take itself seriously with some of this dialogue, you know.
So yeah, like you said, they eventually get the cops are like our lead Tom Beck is like.
He pulls out a shotgun,
to all the guys, and they've basically barricaded a part of the street. And then he's like driving towards the barricade, and they're just firing away at him. And they empty out, I don't know, like 20 or plus rounds on him. And then he eventually still breaks through, and then eventually crashes. And
right, yeah.
And then the car.
Oh, because I think he does get him with the shotgun, which also, I don't know if people really know, like, the range on these shotguns is not that great, but they're hitting their shots, you yeah. know? and going through glass and...
I think there's a scene where he gets out and they're still firing at him. And I think it's not explicitly said, but they're not like, a few of them decide not to aim for him and then just decide to shoot the car, which then the car explodes. That's
right. Yeah.
Was that sort of like the logic there that the car would explode?
I think so. Yeah.
Slow down this guy.
It also gave it a reason to send him to the hospital because he's still alive. After being, you know,
still alive,
destroyed, yeah. you know,
that's true.
You're like, oh, there's no way this guy's gonna make it through, and
yeah,
blah blah blah. Like, oh, what was this? What was the point of this? Like, you could pretty much insert like a Jesse Pinkman quote in there about him, about these people breaking bad, and like, that's the whole point of this. They're like trying to figure out why these like law abiding citizens are all of a sudden just going nuts,
right? Yeah,
or I guess just this one guy so far,
yeah, and he
and then.
So then we get our big reveal that he's some sort of like worm alien creature that needs to
yeah,
like
whatever the fuck it
move
is, yeah.
to host to host. So he's sharing an office, or not an office, but like a hospital room, and then like he just wakes up and just gets into the what is it, the patient next to him.
Yeah, which kind of looks like he's regurgitating into this guy's mouth. with this like yeah, what I don't even know what to call it, because it. When the legs first come out of the mouth, I was like, oh, shit, it's like a spider. And then it starts to come out. I'm like, is this a squid or a jellyfish? But I guess it doesn't
all
matter.
All of the above.
yeah.
He's...
Because they also make it seem like, I know this is jumping ahead, but they make it seem later like this alien is going to be like this huge thing. Because he starts to poke through like limbs and shit.
Yeah.
But no, he's not that big. I don't know. But again, it doesn't matter. I don't
think. So... Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the general setup is like the cops are basically chasing this alien creature. And the thing about the alien creature is that it, whatever it wants, it goes after. Like, it doesn't have any, like,
right.
What would you call it? Like, consciousness? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it just wants and just wants to feed. It wants a car. It wants a woman. And so, like, it just wants
to take over.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like living this life and. Moving to body to body.
Oh, well, FBI agent Kyle MacLachlan comes in.
Yeah.
And forces himself on as a partner to our other hero. But there's something a little off about
so,
this guy,
yeah,
isn't there?
Like, I called it before they try to subtly foreshadow it that he's, oh, yeah, he's an alien.
Oh, man.
Did you call it? Because I called it.
No, yeah, I did too. I was like, Kyle MacLachlan, you are doing too good of a job. You're thinking way too much into this.
Yeah, he's like the only one.
Yeah, even like if you weren't sure the whole moment where he's like, oh, my car. And he's like, can I ask you how much a car like this sets you back? Because it was like a Porsche, I think.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, not at all. And then there's like a awkward silence. He's like, okay, well, how much did it cost you? He's like, I don't know. And then he says something like, what, did you steal this? He's like, yeah, I did. And then there's no discussion after that. he's like, oh, this FBI agent, he's just a quack. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know. Kyle MacLachlan was on fire. He plays Lloyd Gallagher.
Lloyd Gallagher.
Yeah, what a name, too.
yeah.
Yeah, and they eventually team up, and they're basically trying to track down on the run to try to capture this alien creature and stuff like that. And it goes through... Now, this movie is probably like a tight, like, what, 90 minutes, probably? 95 minutes, maybe? And, man, they spent a lot of time with the creature moving from host to host to host.
Yes.
That was a little, like, why? And the actors are not, I would say the actors not always the best. Like, this older man that eventually, the first older man is not particularly interesting. He's sort of a mild-mannered older man, and he kind of, like, who is actually in there for some sort of surgery, right? Like, he has some sort of heart condition.
Something like, yeah, because they point that out later. Like, he tries to eat steaks and stuff, and he starts to feel ill.
Yeah.
I guess his body's dying.
Yeah, which made me question, like, is this alien, like, does the alien know the difference? Like, what is he experiencing? Is it just, like, a vessel, or is he actually, like...
I was confused about that, too, because... Okay, well, I mean, we already spoiled it, right? Like, Kyle MacLachlan at one point gets shot, and he's like, do you feel pain? He's like, yes. So I'm like, okay. So
yeah,
like this guy feels, this other alien feels pain and wants to fuck. You know, like, wants to get wasted. And like, I didn't understand that much. I was going to say that that guy that played the alien for, I would say, most of the runtime, right? The older guy?
Yeah, yeah. William Boyer.
Like, could you think of like what he was in that?
No, no, I couldn't. I mean, I could, since we're so prepared, we'll
yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, I feel like if you guys look him up, he's been in like a ton of shit.
Yeah.
And he kind of reminds me of the dude from A Christmas Story.
Oh, he was in the When a Stranger Calls. Turner and Hooch.
Well, there you go. He's horror movie royalty.
He was in Newsies and The Rocketeer. And an episode of Murphy Brown. These are... so I don't know
what else. There you go. And I'm sure he got these roles because of this movie.
This guy seems like he was probably in a bunch of Westerns. He seems like that type of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of where we left off. And this is like, we talked about this briefly before we started this podcast. I said I was going to have a hard time kind of recollecting the series of events because they're all a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one of the main drawbacks.
He leaves, and then the first thing he does is he goes to a record shop and starts stealing a bunch of cassettes.
Yeah. He wants the music. Good music. I got him. Give him that.
Oh, yeah. Good music. Yeah. Which I thought was fucking great because it was all just like of the era Hollywood 80s punk rock bands.
Yeah. 80s. Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah. So he's stealing cassettes and the dude is like, hey, old man, you can't do that. And then he pulls out like a baton that does not look real, but he's like, oh, I'm going to kill you, old man. And then this like young dude gets subdued by this old guy pretty quickly and dies. And then he sees like the boombox and there's something like an ad for it, right? Like it's like an old school looking ghetto blaster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he smashes it, grabs it, walks out, and this like girl's trying to walk in. He hits her with his shoulder and she's like, hey, watch it. She walks in and is like, ah!
Yeah.
And then it keeps cutting back to Kyle MacLachlan, and I wish I knew. This guy was a pretty good actor, too, and I keep forgetting his name.
Michael Norrie.
I did enjoy his performance. Yeah.
He's pretty good. He's a solid guy. He's like, he definitely has a good, what is this, the 80s, right? So he looked good for like a good 80s actor, you know what I mean? Like an action, he kind of has that good look to him.
He definitely does. He's got like a look like, there's at least 3 to 4 other actors, which again, I don't remember their names, but they come to mind and they all look the same, you know?
Yeah.
He's got that, I don't know how to explain it, you know, like the, drill blank, you know, Olivia Wilde's, the, Trinity's, the, and we're moving on from this. I'm trying to say, he just had a very particular look that people might confuse him for somebody else.
No, yeah. Eventually... Yeah, and then he eventually wants another car. He takes another car. He kills those the guy trying to buy the car.
We skipped a part.
Okay, what did we skip?
So we go back. I feel like it's maybe not as important right now to talk about what the cop and like Kyle MacLachlan are talking about.
Yeah,
because it's just a lot of back and forth, and like he's not getting any information from Kyle MacLachlan because Kyle MacLachlan's trying to be like basically, it wouldn't help you to understand, blah, blah, blah. We go back to the alien, and he's at a diner. And he's blasting the music while he's eating, like, this huge steak and, like, all these sides and drinking all these, like, different fluids, I think. And everybody in the restaurant's, like, pissed off that this guy's just blasting music. And I think one of the waitress that's helping him kind of tries to tell him, like, hey, can you turn it down?
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's about to get mad. Oh, he also finds a pistol at the record store. So it's important to know that he has a gun.
Okay.
and he it looks like he's about to get upset and he's looking around and then his stomach starts to gurgle.
Yeah.
And at this point I was like, is this going to be a movie where this guy, like this alien shits itself because it doesn't understand, you know, human anatomy?
Yeah.
But luckily he doesn't. He just sees that car driving by and he decides he wants it, so he just leaves the restaurant.
Not before seeing the newscast about the senator who came to LA specifically that day. He came to,
oh, right.
And he's actually may or may not run for president. So that caught his attention. Right. Being president, that might play into the end later.
Yes.
And yeah.
Which is also, there's a couple of questionable moments in that ending, which I'm guessing they cut out footage.
Yeah.
But yeah, he goes and the cops finally show up to the record store and they're talking to that lady about what she saw. And it's a picture of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and again, I'm sorry, folks. It's just like a lot goes on. The story is super straightforward, but a lot happens. Kyle MacLachlan is pretty good about, like, this is who I'm looking for. And at the beginning, they're like, oh, well, he's in the hospital. He's about to die. The hospital down the street? And he, like, goes there. And he's like, what did the other guy look like? And he pulls up a picture. This is the guy we're looking for. It's the same guy. And he doesn't explain himself.
Yeah.
So they keep looking for this the old guy now, who's the alien now.
Yeah.
And
he's just, like, going... The whole day, he's that whole couple of sequences, he's just, like... Picking up, he tries to pick up a girl. Girl blows him off, and then he tries to go to.
He tries to shoot her too.
Does he?
But he can't grab the gun quick enough. You remember?
No, he's like, I didn't see that part.
Because he sees. This might be right after. This might be right after he steals the car from that car lot.
Uh-huh.
After there's like this whole, this kind of a long scene, in my opinion, for what it was.
Oh my god, yeah, this is the scene that goes on forever.
Yeah, it just dragged. Yeah. He's like, I want this car. Give me the keys. And they're kind of making fun of him. And then these two white guys go into like the guy who's selling the car's office, and they're like doing cocaine out of this like model.
So he pushes a little like toy Corvette or Porsche, yeah, or whatever, pushes it over, and there's coke in the. In the back seat of it, the and then he's like doing,
oh, yeah. Cooking the
car. Man, the 80s were a wild time. I'd say that.
Yeah.
They were a wild time.
And folks at home, I'm sure it was budgeted in to have like a lot of cocaine for that scene and probably the rest of the runtime of the movie.
Yeah. No, they just skipped catering and they just went straight for the coke. So.
And just classic 80s too, like this, the white guy dealer can't deal with this dude. He's like, oh, that's okay. So he sends like his tall black worker to go and like,
he looked familiar.
Kick him out.
He looked familiar. I didn't.
He looked real familiar. Yeah.
What was he in? I'm gonna have to look him up. But
and then he does successfully kind of like drag him out.
Mm-hmm.
But then the guy, the alien, just goes back and like shoots him at point blank range, right?
Yeah.
And then he says he needs the keys, so he goes into the office. He, like, knows where these people are at. And I'm guessing there was only three people working that day. That's what it seems like. Because I don't know if you noticed, but, like, nobody else was there to, like, confirm anything.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's three people working at this car dealership.
Yeah.
And he goes and he shoots those two guys. And then he takes the car.
And that's it. And then he.
And that's the end of the movie.
Would it,
no, I'm just kidding.
We should probably. Let's hit all the things that he morphs into, because those are pretty great. You know what I mean? So then he goes to strip club, and then of course he decides, oh, I want to be with the stripper or whatever. And so the stripper ends up being like the next host. And.
Right, yeah.
And there's a scene before that that was kind of weird. Maybe you can explain it to me. So Kyle MacLachlan. It's already night, so they go back to the family. He goes back to the cop's house. He has like a daughter, a very young daughter, and a wife and everything. And it's like he invites him into his home and everything, and he checks up on his wife, who's like reading a bedtime story to the young, very young daughter. And then there's this scene before Kyle MacLachlan's alone in the living room, looking at a photo of the child, and I didn't understand like. Very, he was looking at it either longingly or like, or emotionally, or like he kind of wanted to view the child. It was a very confusing scene.
Did you? Yeah, I mean,
you know what I'm talking about?
Your guess is as good as mine for what even this means at the end, too. Like, I think he saw this family and maybe missed his family that died. Because you find out later that he's been on the chase for this this like alien renegade for like 9 years or
something,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
9 human years is what he says, or like years our time. And he says he killed his partner and killed his wife and kid. So I'm assuming he saw the kid and thought like, oh, this reminds me of my daughter. And then, but upon first viewing of that scene, it did kind of seem like he's staring at the kid when they introduce the family. He's like staring in the doorway.
Oh, yeah. And then he
at the family. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he stares at the kid for an uncomfortable amount of time. Even like the parents are kind of like, the cop is like, okay, is this guy okay?
That actually makes much more sense. So I was thinking of something more insidious than that. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like, maybe he wants this kid. This poor
girl. But then he calls the kid special. And I'm not trying to, I don't know. I got to preface this with like, I'm not trying to go one way or the other with this opinion I had on it. I just assume maybe the kid was like autistic or had like some sort of mental handicap, and he like kept staring at the kid, called the kid special, and then the kid never talks.
Yeah. I did.
The kid just kind of stares.
I did some research. So there is a sequel to this. Did you?
Oh, shit.
The Hidden Two.
The Found. Okay. Okay. The Hidden and the Seek. Right?
More hiding. Hidinger. And apparently, so in the sequel, the daughter is a cop and the aliens are back. So I don't know if you...
Damn. Whoa, I don't know.
It got very, very low ratings, but everyone complained. The number one complaint and like the general reviews on IMDb was just that, like, apparently the first 15 minutes are good because it's this movie. It's the end of this movie. And then they I guess they go forward and it's the daughter now and she's a cop. So just wanted to throw that out there. It has not really anything to do with the story plot of this movie. But
I was like, oh, let me let this stew in my head. Like, nah, it still doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But, you know.
I guess after that, they get a call and then they eventually head out to that strip club and they have like a shootout with the alien.
We missed something again.
Okay, go for it.
It's important to mention in between all this, he goes to like an antique dealership, breaks in, and it's got all these like museum style antiques, like in a bunch of crates and stuff. Uh-huh. And then he goes to a back room and he's like starting to have like, that's the first time you see the spider leg part of the limb poke through the forearm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember? And then like he covers it with his hand and then he like wraps it up so it doesn't pop out. And in my head, I'm like, you control that too, right? Do you like not control your body? When
you're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it pops out of his arm, right? And he's bleeding out of his left hand.
Right,
And then he goes to the strip club. You're right. Yeah.
Well, no, he does that. He wraps it, and then he looks down, and then all these crates in this like random room have a shit ton of guns and like, I don't know, grenades and stuff for some reason.
It's convenient. It's the '80s.
I don't know. See. I don't know. he goes to the strip club. He's drinking a lot, I guess, and he's like looking worse for wear, and he's sweating profusely, and he's bleeding all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that the bartender was like somebody. I feel like these are all people that
another amazing character
famously
actor.
Became extra people. Yeah, yeah.
He's my God. He was really good too and stuff. He was like on Rescue Me. He's one of the fire.
Yes,
chiefs.
Yes, that's right.
Good, really good show.
And then he like stares at our main attraction, which again, guys, 80s. So you're gonna see a lot of boobs and butts.
Yeah.
And lots of drugs, lots of gunfire. She does her dance. He looks at her and then he decides to go to the back and she tries to scream for help. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they cut to her walking out the front as all these cops are showing up because somebody tipped him off that the vehicle that he had stolen or the alien had stolen before was there.
Right. Yeah.
So she walks out and these two drunk guys walk out of like a bar, right?
Yeah.
And one
of the guys
is screaming.
She leaves. The cops are getting
hey,
there.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And then.
Right. Yeah. And he's like screaming like, oh, come on. We didn't do anything wrong. Like telling the cops that even though the cops are going like across the street.
Yeah.
Like, come on, leave us alone. And then he sees her and he's like, hey, baby, you know, classic like 80s cat call, like won't let up. And she tries to get to the car and the cops are like, ma'am, no, ma'am, you can't go to that car. Which I thought was weird. I'm like, okay, cops, like,
yeah,
like, oh, this lady, don't go to that car. Like it didn't belong to the lady, you know, like she's not involved somehow. I don't know. The alien gets convinced to go to this guy's other car, right?
Yeah.
And then they bone, question mark?
Yeah, I think so. They were doing something. I don't know.
Yeah.
It looked like...
It seemed like they were boning, but then as soon as the guy dies, he falls out of the car and his clothes are all on. And then there's this awkward scene where the alien's like, oh, I guess you're supposed to assume his inner monologue is like, I'm a lady and I'm hot. So he's just like grabbing the lady's boobs over the clothes for like a weird amount of time. And this actress, by the way, is she was like in Deep Space Nine or something, right? Like one of the Star Trek shows.
Yeah, Babylon 5.
Babylon 5, sorry. Oh my god, I fucked that up. Sorry, everyone. Guess who didn't watch Babylon 5? Yeah, then she takes the car. She's the new alien. Kyle MacLachlan quickly is like realizing, oh, that's the new alien, because they talk to another one of the workers there, and she mentions like, oh yeah, no, we just saw the dead body, and then she just walked away.
Yeah.
And the cop at this point is starting to like become savvy to the whole thing, sort of. Not the alien thing, just like, is that who we're looking for now? And he's like, yep, that's her. And he's like, ugh, okay. Put another APV on, blah 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 blah. And then they see her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get in a car chase. Oh wait, no. These two cops are chasing her. She does this like spin, like a Tokyo Drift style, like stop, pulls a big rifle out, like this big, like assault rifle, and starts like mutilating this cop car. And somehow these two guys survive.
Yeah. And then, we get to my favorite part of this movie. And let's just skip the part where they have a shootout on the roof. And then like Cal McLaughlin tells him, like, I've been hunting you down. I mean, it's important to the plot, but like, oh, we're going to get to the important part of this movie, in my opinion.
I thought you were going to talk about the actual car chase. That was fucking wild. Like the whole time this alien is unaffected by anything going on around it, just like
eating bullets,
driving and eating bullets. Yeah. And, this cop is trying to shoot the tires out, and Kyle MacLachlan's like, why don't you aim for the tires? He's like, what do you think I'm doing? You think you can do any better? And he's like, So he goes, take the wheel. And he like sticks his whole body out and starts shooting.
Yeah, he did.
And again, if you know the layout of downtown Los Angeles, they are driving in the same fucking block. So, I mean, I feel like if you could like freeze frame and look at the signs, they're going around the same signs like five times. And it was back when the Herald Examiner was still around, which they had to have shot most of the movie at, too.
Because
They're right outside of it. He's able to, like, shoot the tire out, and then that's when they run to that warehouse full of mannequins?
Yeah, it's like a mannequin store.
Clothing store?
Maybe, it looks like a mannequin store.
Yeah, I don't know.
Warehouse situation. And, yeah, they have, like, a shootout on the roof. They eventually leads up to the roof, and they have, like, that shootout. And then I think he reveals, Kyle MacLachlan reveals that he's, like, an alien hunter or whatever. Because he has, like, some, like, I don't know, like, silver gun or whatever. Like, alien gun. Kind of looks like the Noisy Cricket from Men in Black.
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking about, too, yeah. Or, like, a very expensive paperweight. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Just a prop.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting looking thing.
Yeah.
And I think the only important takeaway is the cop realizes, even though, along with Kyle MacLachlan, they shot this woman, like, one of the coroners talks about it, like, 19 times?
Really? Okay, yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she never goes down, and then he's there. He almost falls off the roof. Kyle MacLachlan pulls him up. Kyle MacLachlan's trying to like point the gun, and you realize later that he's waiting for something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the alien starts to talk, and it's like real voice, which is like, okay, why would do they only speak English on this planet too?
Yeah.
I'm confused. So yeah, that's when the cop is like, okay, something extra fishy is going on,
and she falls off the roof. I don't remember how.
Or she jumps, right? No, she jumps through the front sign. There's like this huge sign on top of the roof. Uh-huh. She turns around, jumps through, lands splat. Then Kyle MacLachlan's like running down the stairs while all these cops are running up. So I was confused about that too. Like, how did they not see that? But yeah. The lieutenant shows up with his dog. He's still wearing like a tracksuit. And then this is the part you probably wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah. That okay, yeah. So the alien's still alive. We got a little bit more in this movie. And she, the first thing he transfers over is a dog that comes sniffing around and stuff like that. So
yeah.
She awakes and like grabs it, and there's like a cry, and then it cuts away. Only to, I just want to skip to maybe my favorite part of the movie, where we get to the dog, and he's in the dog, and the dog's like sitting in front of the mirror. Checking it. It's like the alien dog is checking itself out in the mirror, and it's played really seriously. There's like, you know, tension, you know, tense music playing, and it's just like this dog looking at itself.
Oh man,
it's reflection in a mirror. That's, and then she goes to open a door that it was in a room, and then opens a door and heads over to, ends up being one of the cops, right? Ends up being one of the cops.
Well, like their actual lieutenant. So, I think it's fair to point out also, as the dog was walking away with like the lieutenant, at the end of their whole, investigation of like the lady dying,
mm-hmm.
And Kyle MacLachlan is just like in despair, 'cause he's like, I have no idea where to start looking. Oh. And then the cop like is getting frustrated with no explanation. So has Kyle MacLachlan arrested?
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't think you could do that to FBI agent. I don't know how that works, but sure. What, like, there was no probable cause really either. Just like, arrest him.
Yeah.
And as the dog is walking away, the dog turns around, which is the alien, right? And looks at Kyle MacLachlan and just growls with like big teeth. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool.
I can just imagine like,
and then, yeah,
the trainers are like, okay, growl, growl now, go do it. Yeah. Ready? Action. Shoot. Yeah.
Which I guess, I mean, it looked like the dog actually opened the door too, so that was pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
Walks through and then goes to like a room that is behind the kitchen area where there is still a door in between, but the top half is glass?
Mm-hmm.
Or it was a window? I was a little confused by this. But the, like, you know, the dude that has the dog is like drinking something or pulling something out of the fridge, and this fucking dog like catapults through this glass with its all four feet like heading straight towards the back of this guy's back, smacks him, and somehow that's enough to kill the dude. Something like
it's
that.
I mean, that's
a little slapsticky.
Yeah, to say the least.
Because it looked like they just launched a fake dog and like made sure that all four paws were coming through the window to hit this guy in the back.
Yeah.
And it was enough to kill him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then...
But that was great.
Yeah, and then we're getting towards the end here, and then we get to the...
Oh, are we? There's a whole, like...
There's like one more action sequence, right? And then, because he's arrested at this point.
Three, I think.
Yeah. I mean, but did they really serve the plot at this point? I mean, it's just.
No, not at all. No, it was like for no reason, not believing Kyle MacLachlan when he says, like, essentially I'm an alien, locks him up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At this point,
the alien tries to come back and kill him. Like, he's taking it personal now. And then he goes to the actual jail. Assuming the identity of one of the officers there, he tries to like infiltrate the where Kyle MacLachlan is being held, and then he like starts shooting up the place, right? And then
so it was like the guy that the dog killed. He just transfers into that body,
mm-hmm.
goes back to the precinct, and at this point, somebody that's what do they call those guys that take care of all the weapons? And like put him away in
evidence room clerk. No.
Well, they had this room that looked more like a storage facility. It didn't look like a real space for like, because there was no guns in it. There was like a few weapons. Oh, you know what we failed to mention too? there's a whole throwaway section where one of the cops comes up and has a flamethrower because some kid has a random flamethrower on the street. And then it's not talked about again. But this is important for the end.
Wow, I missed that.
You don't remember, like, the... It's like there's like the one black guy in the force, their friend. I think his name was Sanchez or like.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah, Sanchez.
He comes in towards at the beginning, right before Kyle MacLachlan shows up, and he's got this weird looking like silver looking weapon. Yeah. It's like it's a flamethrower. Blah blah blah. So anyway, yeah, that weird weapon, the noisy cricket looking thing. The guy that's supposed to be taking care of the evidence and the weapons decides to put his hand in it for no reason.
Yeah.
And it makes, like, you know...
He shoots it, basically, into the wall.
Pretty good CGI, pretty good green screen looking, like, effects. Like, very Masters of the Universe style, like, magic happening.
Yeah.
And it makes, like, yellow, looks like powdery dust that forms on the wall, and it blows the wall up.
Yeah, and that gives that... Whatever, like that gives the what's his name, the cop, like he ends up hearing it or seeing it or understands that it's being fired, and he eventually goes to retrieve the gun, right?
And he grabs it, which doesn't seem to matter, but it's like a little moment of suspense, I guess.
Yeah. And then
he goes and starts shooting up everybody in the thing, and you know our two heroes are trying to stop him.
Yeah, and then eventually.
Oh well, okay. This part was pretty cool. The part at the end, where at the end of this sequence, where he goes to pull Kyle MacLachlan out of the cell, but then the alien shows up and starts shooting everybody there, and then that's when we see Danny Trejo. By the way, he's in the cell in the back with a bunch of other people, and this is like fucking desperado looking Danny Trejo, but like before that, obviously, right? They're shooting each other, and then that's when he explains, like, no, the gun is not that simple. I can't just shoot him. And he shoots, Kyle MacLachlan shoots the fellow cop with the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And explains, like, it doesn't work on human skin. It's like, oh, okay. So are these guys made out of concrete then, or whatever that wall was made of that blew up? I don't know.
That beam got a little hot, but, so I imagine.
Yeah. And the actor did that weird, like, this had to have been a director's choice, right? Feel weird. Like, you got all tingling. He's like, whoa. Like, oh, okay. We didn't need to spend so much time on that, but okay. And the way they get out of this is the alien says goodbye randomly and has a rocket launcher. And is aiming directly at them, but then the cop shoots him in the forehead, which makes him spin, and the rocket hits a wall that was clearly a very thin flat, because as soon as it explodes, you realize that it's like maybe a quarter inch thick. Like it just, everything blows. And then the alien runs away.
Yeah, and then conveniently, they put together that well, he leaves in one of the other bodies and he goes to the governor that's running for presidency. His, like,
right,
his whatever thing that showed up in the news that he's having, like, some sort of press conference. A little side note, I've actually shot there at that Park Plaza hotel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. The interior is exactly the same, actually. The carpet, the long, all the staircases and everything. That's all the same.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's the same carpet, same everything. Just a little side note. And then Kyle MacLachlan and the other guy, they realize it and they headed to the hotel and they try to sneak in.
Oh, also because the body that the alien inhabits was one of the best friends of the other cop.
Yeah. Cliff? Was it Cliff?
Cliff, yeah. Sure. Another good like actor.
Yeah, who's in this. Yeah, he shows up in tons of stuff. He's really good. He's in this and he eventually like... breaks away and goes to this like press conference, and then he gets through because he's a police officer, and then they're like running in there, they're like, hey, who are you, and blah blah blah, and then he like that clues him, Cliff or whatever, to like go run to like start running through the building or whatever.
And very unfairly, Lynn Shay finally makes an appearance, and then she really doesn't do much. I guess she's a campaign manager or like the assistant.
And if anybody doesn't know who that is, she's I don't know. She's been in tons of things. She's in Insidious.
She plays, she plays the teacher in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, yeah.
that's a
obscure.
Very deep cut.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, Insidious movies, she plays the clairvoyant woman or the whatever power she's got.
Yeah. And Something About Mary.
She's in Something About Mary. Yeah. The raunchy roommate. Kingpin, she plays the smoke addicted landlord.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She definitely hit like a character type for a good chunk of the 2000s there.
Yeah.
It's like raunchy old lady is basically what she was. But yeah, now she's like in every horror movie coming out. So if you don't know who she is by this point.
Yeah.
She's an older white lady that always knows the answers. They corner that guy, the senator, in like a room in the back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like a super small, tiny room, which I was like, oh, this is the worst fucking security team you possibly could have gotten. They're going to get you killed, man. And guess what? right, they don't really have like a... They have another shoot-off. And then the cop tries to stop his friend and is sad that his friend is basically dead already. Or like they're dead, right? They die as soon as the alien enters them. And he gets shot.
Yeah.
And then Kyle MacLachlan's character has that moment of, what would you call that? It's like empathy and realizes like my partner.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. God, if you guys only know Kyle MacLachlan from like Twin Peaks or the Portland show, what's it called?
Blue Velvet?
Oh, no, Blue Velvet too, actually. I was going to say Portlandia.
Yeah.
He plays the mayor. If anybody doesn't know who Kyle MacLachlan is, he's like selling this whole doesn't understand human emotion that well, even though they seem to be very similar to the alien emotions they experience.
Yeah.
And he stops and he like, instead of running after the guy, right, he stops, holds his new partner's hand as he puts his hand on his like bullet wounds. And he's just like, no. It's like, I thought you needed to kill this alien. The alien's going to keep killing people like this guy. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then it gives him enough time, right? I think that's the point of why that happened. It gives the alien enough time
to get into the senator, governor, person, and he ends up, wanting to be.
Gives him time to throw up in his mouth also.
Yeah.
See, this is the moment that I had a lot of questions for. I thought there was going to be like a big reveal. Lynn Shay is pushed into, I don't even know what that was, like an air vent or like a huge, I thought it was a closet, but they were already in a closet. So she hides in this thing. Clearly, the alien is transferring into the senator at this point, and she's just staring through the blinds. And then the next scene, they're just like together and everything's okay.
Yeah.
There's like no question about it. But then it's like enough dramatic events for them to be asking Lynn Shay like, oh, well, what's going to happen? And she's like, well, at this time, he doesn't really want to answer any questions. And as far as like the presidency, like, we'll talk about that later. And then he gets up like, I want to be president.
Yeah.
And then this is when Kyle MacLachlan goes in, right? Yeah. And he comes out, he has a bag, and they're all shooting at him. And they're trying to stop him. They're all hitting him, too. And again, he's like an alien. Gets right up to the senator. The senator's like, basically, oh, you, and pulls out a gun, tries to shoot him. Mm-hmm. And then this is where the flamethrower comes out. And he melts this thing, like melts the human.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, no. And then the squid spider thing pops out the mouth. And he finally kills it, our hero.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like nobody really questions it after that. Yeah. But it seems like at this point the movie's like, no, we're over with the movie, so that's enough. And then they're in the hospital, and I want you to explain the end because maybe we have a different interpretation of what happened.
Okay. Let's see.
Like obviously what happens, but it was such a odd choice.
It's weird. They try to make something that was kind of. Like, I don't know, kind of like not very like it's kind of gross, kind of the scene, and then they try to make sentimental. Like I think that was the intention of the director, that the cop with the family, his kids and his wife step out or whatever, and he's like badly injured, and he eventually like dies there, and Cal McLaughlin, as a way to like help his partner, he has like this new empathy, I guess, for these people, decides to put his alien self into the cop.
So the cop is no more. The cop is dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his whole logic, he was in the neighboring room because he got shot a bunch, right? And there, I don't know, nobody's questioning why he's not dead.
Yeah.
Goes in there, sees him, holds his hand as a guy dies. Again, like, oh, you know what? Oh, I'll ask the question after we finish explaining. So he's there, but this one is like he's still regurgitating into the guy's mouth, but it's not like a big squiddy spider alien. It's the same type of like yellow powder magic that comes out of the gun, you know? So I thought
he doesn't have
like he was going to explode. Yeah.
He doesn't have that really gross regurgitation as the like bad alien. He has like this like golden, you know, like in what is it? Pulp Fiction, when they open the case, right, it has that light in it, and it's, you don't know what it is. It's kind of like the same kind of effect.
Which, and it again, like that animation looked oddly similar to like that weapon that destroyed the squiddy spider.
Yeah, thing. That's a good point. I didn't put that connection after watching it. So he eventually transfers himself over, and like they hear that. All this stuff's going off, all this medical equipment's going off, and like the doctor, the mother, and like the daughter comes back.
The daughter,
so they all come back, and he wakes up, and Cal McLaughlin's like dead on the floor, and he wakes up and just has like this really like creepy smile, and it's just eyeballing that little kid. So so that he like, and then he reaches out to her, and they like, she's like hesitant. She has like this long, like really like no emoting face, just reaches out and they touch hands, and then end credits. And
it was like,
that's it.
That's the part that I was also questioning, because she, like, even beforehand, like when you see this little girl, she's got no emotion, just kind of stares, like she's a little bit slack jawed almost, right? And then she sees our new Kyle McLaughlin, like the cop, reach his hand out, and she's hesitant for a while, and then kind of smiles a little bit and holds his hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I was like, okay, she understands that this is that other thing. I think she understands. Did she? Like,
I mean, that's where I thought it was going, but it's not. I thought she would notice the difference because of how she was like totally creeped out by that Kyle McLaughlin's alien character earlier.
Right, yeah, because of the way he stared at her,
But it was kind of hard. The choice the actor made was hard to distinguish or decipher, you know, because I don't know. But I'm assuming it's supposed to be a sentimental moment, because there's, like, music swelling. There's, like, you know, Count McLaughlin smiling. Or the other guy, the cop now, is the father, is smiling, and he's just enjoying. He's, you know, he wants to connect with this child. I don't know. That scene is kind of up in the air. We'd have to watch the sequel. You ready to watch the sequel then? Or?
Oof, I don't know.
See where it goes.
A wild ride. Yeah. And when I say this movie's like bonkers, it's like pretty crazy. Like nonstop. Like you said, the movie's not even that long. But at the 45-minute mark, I was like, how much is left in this movie? Like, holy shit, this movie's long. Yeah. And it wasn't long at all. It was just a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to question the whole... there's a throwaway line where Kyle McLaughlin's talking to the alien, I think, when the alien is inside of our sexy lady, and he says, oh, well, you left a very angry partner on a planet alone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I remember that scene. Yeah.
So I was like, is his partner dead? Is this actually his partner? What's going on? Because then the alien tries to, like, I guess, plead with him, sort of, and saying, like, we could take over this world, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, human fish, it's way better than whatever thing they made up, whatever alien race that they mention like four times throughout this entire movie.
Yeah, I think that scene was only just to give credence to the or credibility to the alien aspect of it or whatever sci-fi. I just threw a bunch of like gobbly stuff about like home planets and like we would rule you and we can rule this planet and you know, you did this, you do that.
Yeah,
I guess just to add a little grounded and a little more reality, I guess.
But then I was just like questioning that one line about like you left an angry partner on a planet alone.
Yeah, you think he's the angry partner? You think
it's the
scorned lover?
I don't know. I think maybe this movie is a lot deeper than we're giving it credit for.
I don't know.
It's got such a soap opera feel to it too. You know,
that's a good point to put it. Yeah, it did. It does.
It's real melodramatic at points.
Yeah, not the ending especially. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like. Yes. Perfectly soap opera ending. Mm-hmm. Like, perfect. Like, what was the name of that soap opera that was on for a while where there was, like, a troll person that was, like, did you ever hear about this? Or if anybody for audience knows what I'm talking about, this, like, soap opera that was on and kind of very popular in the 2000s because they introduced, like, a magic...
Passions? Was it Passions?
For... Maybe it was Passions.
That's the only one that was
like
crazy.
It always had weird turns like that. Yeah. And I feel like this movie could have been, you know,
weird supernatural turns.
Yeah.
All right. What, how many sexy spooky bones would you give this movie?
Oh, I'm going to give it
6 sexy spooky bones.
6 sexy spooky bones. I'm going to go much lower. I there's things I like about the movie. I think that it's a little bit of a tough sit through because it's a little aged, it's a little B movie. You kind of have to like be ready for it watching it. I'll probably do, let's do 4. I do 4 sexy, spooky skeleton bones.
Whoa. I'm just saying if you love fast cards, big guns, punk rock, 80s Hollywood, big hair, a few boobs,
yeah,
some butts, and regurgitating into people's mouths, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a movie out there for everybody. So, I just want to thank everybody for listening. And next week, we will review Anything for Jackson. So we have that coming up.
Cool.
And as always...
stay spooky.
Bye, I love you.
Bye.